This is CliffCentral.com.
How are you doing?
Woo!
Hello! This is Beyond Ears and Eyes, Cliff Central. Yes, we know we have played the intro for a little while longer before coming in to talk, just because we're a little slow.
No, she must tell the truth. We're playing it a bit longer because Shemaine is so hyped up that we just had to calm her down and bring her to this space where we can have a conversation.
Yes, I'm having a liftoff.
Stay with us, Shemaine.
Okay, but if you have anything that you want to add to this conversation, Liesl's going to introduce our guest in the conversation now. Here's a WhatsApp number in the meantime. It's 0797-482090. 0797-482090. This is Beyond Ears and Eyes. Hello.
And from me, Liesl Tom, hello there. And a very warm welcome to Simpiwe Mthethwa, who's filling in for Palesa today. I was very concerned that Palesa is not going to ever come back, but we're very happy to have you.
Did you chase her away? Tell the truth. You're rough with that woman. You are very rough. Simpiwe, I've seen you with Palesa. Rough.
And Simpiwe is just shaking her head. Do you want a mic, babe?
Don't give her a mic. She talks a lot.
Also with us in studio is Vivian Cook, our guest today. Very warm welcome. Vivian is the South African licensee of the Litarian Institute. Now, I have absolutely no idea what that means, but the word popped up at me last week while I was researching a topic for this week, and I thought, this is something for Beyond Ears and Eyes.
And then she goes, she's like, yes. A Litarian. I'm like, a what? A Litarian. A what?
Shemaine, I don't speak like that.
I'm exaggerating. But I was on the phone and I'm going, what is that?
Yeah, I wasn't sure she could hear me properly. And then I said, Litarian. And then I thought, you know, in this day and age, to talk about Aryans, no.
I said that, Litarian.
Vivian, very warm welcome and thank you for joining us. Now, please tell us, what on earth is the Litarian Institute?
Well, thank you for the invitation. The Litarian Institute is really standing for Global Human Transformation, and that's exactly it. There's a series of attunements that can be received in order to energetically raise the vibration for people, places, and situations. And I think we'll all agree that we do have a very changing, challenging situation that we have both on Earth presently, where we are trying to move through with a sense of calm and peace and tranquility. And we know that thought is creative. So if we can be sending out a positive, transformational message, as in just being at peace with yourself, that can reverberate not only through ourselves, but all of those around us.
All right. I love how you go to the attunement of situations or situational attunement, because we hardly look at that. Hey, we always go like zero in on the person. You know, you need fixing, you know, or I need fixing.
You need to grow. Grow some.
Yeah, well, grow some pears or something like that.
So,
no, but the situational vibrational lift. How do you achieve that, though? And I mean, I didn't even... You know, sometimes it doesn't occur to you that you can change a situation.
Absolutely. Well, the more that you have information, of course, you will do the best with the knowledge at the time. So we are hungry for knowledge. We are wanting to really saturate ourselves right now. And what is the next part of the chain that can help us? So if we are doing a new project, we would want to be acquiring all the information, wouldn't we? Mm-hmm. We would want to be having a good foundation that we could build on. Mm-hmm. So if we are wanting to create a change, we need to move away from the consciousness clutter of the mind. It is so busy. For all the people that go to sleep at night, they may fall asleep, and then they may waken up, and the mind starts again. Mm-hmm. So what we want to really be able to do is move away from the consciousness clutter of the mind.
Are we addressing
and moving to the heart?
What are we addressing then? Well, are we doing the situation? Is that how you create a change in situations via your thoughts?
With yourself. Absolutely. Starting with self first so that we can move away from the busyness of the mind into the heart. When we then concentrate at the heart center and we can think of things in a new way through unconditional love, which all emanates from the heart center.
Easy to talk about unconditional love. How do you do it? Where do you go for that unconditional love? Because we all do different, isn't it? But I mean, it's not that easy and it's a constant go-to.
It is. It's work. And that is your spiritual self-development. It's like the onion layers that you've got to be peeling it off. So as you can go into meditation, you would be quietening the mind and moving into that more zen state of mind, which allows you again to be able to think rationally and to be able to find a place of inner peace, because it's at that place of inner peace where we will have a different programming of the mind. And that's what's important too for us. Fundamentally, we've got a multifaceted thought process that is happening, and we tend to have the same limited belief structure that happens. And when we put in a new thought frame, like an affirmation of I can be a success, I can and I will, you've already created a new thought, and the more you keep saying it, the more you start affirming it, and the more it starts to set that foundation. Just as when you have a new project that you would be thinking through the third eye, the area between the eyebrow of the project, seeing who you want to have there, all the material that you would be needing, and then you need to ground it. So we need to get people away from being up there to ethereal and ground, because that tends to help to manifest more. People have got great ideas, but they don't ground it enough. If you think of a tree, a new tree being planted into the earth would do better having a stake in with it. It can still be flexible in the wind if you think of the willow tree, but the roots would be grounded.
So how do you ground?
Just that of shoes off. Feet on the
physically
earth.
Touch feet. The ground.
Absolutely. Feet on the earth. You can imagine that you have the most amazing roots emanating out of the soles of your feet, or even a grounding cord from the navel.
Moving, so that in meditation.
Quite right. Okay. Moving through the layers of sand and stone and just imagining going down to the very core, the heart of the planet. And that again immediately takes one away from that busyness of the mind. To be able to ground, you can build and really recreate anything from there.
There are other people who say, no, they can't meditate. But so what forms can you do? Because I'm thinking, what if you walk and you get to that place of stillness? Does it count? What if you run, you get to that place of stillness? How do you ground yourself in that state of motion?
Absolutely. I say to people, you know, you don't have to be sitting on the top of the mountain away from everybody. You could be taking five under the shower. You could be imagining that the element of water is cleansing and clearing the body.
And it does, actually.
It does, for sure. Your whole auric field, because if you think you've had any trauma in your life, it sits as irritation, spots and or leaks in the auric field. So if you are cleansing with the element of water and seeing that then being filled with an essence of light energy, you help to heal that as opposed to dragging it through life. So running, very definitely, it's a great way. And even if one is just quietly sitting in a car, you may be waiting in the traffic, but that you are just quieting the thoughts with the power of breath. It's a great way to bring that stillness, because that's what meditation is all about, stilling the mind.
Lee, I know you're waiting to go into the Lightarian thing.
Yeah, I want to know.
The name itself, light, is that where the name came from, beings of light?
Yes.
Do you want to spell it, just in case someone goes, what?
What are these women on about? So it's light, L-I-G-H-T, Arian. A R
I-A-N, as in white. The Aryan race.
Yeah, I'm so, anyway, so happy. I'm not so happy with that.
Vivian, tell us more. Yes, so the Lighterion Institute started then in 1997. I'm the South African licensee for them here in South Africa as well as Mauritius. And the Lighterion Institute, standing for that global human transformation, is just that of self-development, moving through clearing of the old programming that we've spoken about, those limited beliefs. Healing. How do we heal? Through the power of breath again, through a series of perhaps hands-on and or attunement process whereby one is taken into that quiet meditative state where one can explore higher realms of consciousness.
Yeah, but you know, I hear what you're saying, but is it possible that while you're telling us that you can just break it down a little bit more? Because you come from a place of strength and knowledge, and we go like, this is new. So when you go, you know, when you drop a thought, give a bit of an explanation so we can keep up with you.
So if we are sitting together as we are, and you are open to change, you've already opened the front door. And we are moving through the house. And you start to imagine that you are cleansing and clearing thoughts just as you would perhaps tidy up in a house.
Okay.
This is our physical body that we're talking about. We are cleansing and clearing. So when we are
cleansing and clearing with what?
Thought.
Okay.
Thought.
What mechanisms from your thought process can you use? Or what images can you use to assist?
So the angelic realm, for instance. If we know and believe that the angelic realm are there to be supporting us, we can call upon an angel, just as we know that we've had a guardian angel come in when we were born, stays with us until we go. We can call upon an angel, unconditional love. I need to experience unconditional love. Please help me, guide me, show me.
So this angel thing, because everybody's got a name. There's Samuel, there's Uriel, there's Michael, there's, you know, but it's always the same group of angels that people seem to call on. So what is with that? Aren't there others? Or can you just go like, I need an angel of creativity or an angel of, I don't know, come Liesl, hook me up or something, but not,
but I think,
know,
I mean,
go like, isn't Michael busy?
But they're the archangels, tell
so you've got more? Yes, so it's a broad spectrum of angels and ascended masters that one can have. And so if you are thinking just about Archangel Michael, yes, he is busy now more than ever because he assists us with protection and wisdom. And then Archangel Raphael is seen as an angel who helps with healing.
Okay.
So would help healers and or people with their healing. So it's nice to focus with a particular name and call upon that energy to support a process for you.
Does he have minions that go, look, I'm whomever?
Yeah, Shemaine, I'm a bit busy. I'll send one of my juniors.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a
structural thing. Does he have juniors?
There are helpers. Absolutely, there are helpers. And I think so long as you have purity and intent, there are many, many names. And certainly the angelic realm can be called in for specific purposes. So you could call in Chamiel to, again, specifically help with the heart, but that's not the one and only angel that can be called in. But the angel for creativity is Archangel Gabriel. And then you can work with the color orange. So you can also work with colors. And so you can work with many modalities. So creativity is the one that you're going to be wanting to know about is Archangel Gabriel.
Uriel, and orange.
The color orange could be. And at the same time, Uriel grounds then that energy that you would get in.
So you ask for both then?
Yeah.
You go like,
you could call them all in.
Gabriel and Uriel, come in. Okay. All right, that's and how receptive are people still, you know, to the angelic realm or angels?
Very. Again, with a lot of the sadness and grief that happens with people, they want to know where to from here.
Aww.
And so if people can go into that quiet space of just knowing. So if I'm connecting with somebody in a healing session and I know that they are particularly trying to work through grief, loss of a loved one, and we can invite them to almost feel, sense, and imagine and believe that there are angel wings that are around them and enfolding them, that is a very nice, reassuring aspect for them. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, too, with our angel connections, we can invite people to have their own wings that just grow behind them. and extend up to your beautiful roof.
Aww. So do you want to go? Because you know I'm taking over this conversation.
Vivian, what are attunements? How do they work? How do you use them to help people?
Specifically with that Lightarian energy type of thing in mind.
So it's seen as a ribbon of light energy extending out of the Godhead, a pure energetic connection. If you could imagine a tuning fork. Mm-hmm. So we have a ribbon of light that is connecting with yourself and myself. We're holding that pure intention to support the process of connecting and making a stronger connection with an angel. Then an extra ribbon coming from, say, Archangel Michael. So we've then got a three-way fork connection. So it is like an etheric bonding that we are creating.
Pyramid.
And then inviting you to be open to, at the crown of your head, being open to receiving a halo. So what I do is then I hold my hands just above your crown chakra, and a halo forms as a gifting from that angel, because we are strengthening the connection. Anybody can call in the angelic realm. We are merely strengthening, and that's part of what the teachings are about, is strengthening that connection. That energetic halo's gifting is all about non-judgment. So if you know that you are needing to particularly work with an aspect, again, Archangel Michael assisting to have non-judgment and a guide for you that you can be calling in on at any point in time, because there's enough of his energy to go around for everyone.
Mm-hmm. So when you say and a guide for you, do you mean your physical, your actual guide, or his guidance?
His guidance, acting as a physical guide as well.
So if because you do it for others.
Yes.
What if you want to do it for yourself? What? How would the process then work?
You have to ensure that you have the correct integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And calling in Archangel Michael very directly by name. I'm calling for you to be beside me at this time. Mm-hmm. Show me, reassure me. Calling on a particular name is always a good way to ensure that you've then got a good connection.
Mm-hmm. Or the right person.
The right person.
Or should I say?
The right can person we say, for the entity? Job, yeah, I'm sure you won't be offended.
Do we say entity?
the right angel. For the realm. Yes.
If I say entity, is that just not the right?
Well, it could mean a negative entity, and that we don't want to bring in.
I suppose, but is it necessarily so? Because, you know, one always associates that word with the negative, but is it necessarily so?
Well, you know, they've said you get good angels, you get bad angels, and that's why it's good always to just be holding pure intent.
Right.
When your intention is of absolute purity, you will be inviting in the correct energy as well to be beside you, because I firmly believe that the angelic realm, whether you know the name or not, they are beside you, as long as you are just remembering to be calling them in.
Yeah, so we each have a guardian angel, and do they ever change shifts? Or as you raise your own vibrations, do you get a different guardian angel?
You can have more than one angel beside you. Absolutely,
for from start to finish.
Sure.
Okay, you get issued with an angel the day you are born.
You get issued.
There's your angel.
Yes.
If you succeed in raising your vibration, does that angel stay with you, or do you get one that can teach you different things or have different lessons to bring or different kinds of protection? Do they like change over, or do you keep the same one you were issued with, and then when you check out, you hand them back in?
You give the ticket back.
It's an evolving process, really, actually. Often people will say, I need to know who my guide is and who and what they look like.
Uh-huh.
And as we evolve, absolutely, their energies will evolve with us. And sometimes they will remain with us. Other times they will move on. And that is also an important thing as well, where people can know and trust that, for instance, like with the Ascended Masters, they are seen as beings of light of a higher energetic vibration.
Who are they?
So the Ascended Masters are a band of energies, again, that are of masculine, perhaps assertive energy, as the angelic realm could be seen as a more feminine nurturing energy. So an ascended master could be an ascended master Buddha, for instance, mm-hmm. or El Moira, who comes in as helping one through life lessons of clearing. It's an assertive energy, which really helps to clear the levels of consciousness. Then an angel coming in to support smooth nurture. So they can both work really well together in tandem. And that cohesive energy is what really creates that, again, that beautiful foundation to work with and through. And as you become more accustomed to a particular energy of a master being with you, knowing that you can call on them, they're mm-hmm. acting as guides in the background, counselors, coaches, really, to be able to call them forward to assist when you are moving to a higher level of knowledge and understanding. So they step forward to the table to guide you through that. Okay. And you will have a
together
natural,
with your guides.
Correct. And you will okay. have a natural curiosity and be inspired and motivated with them hugely.
I love how you go, the ascended masters have a masculine mm-hmm. energy. And did you also pick that? And
I
the
also,
angelic.
Yes. And I was thinking, you go.
Mm, do you want to go?
No, you go.
And I like that, you know, but the femme inside of me is going, okay, so why are there only masculine energy for the ascended masters, you know? So that's an egotistical thing, obviously. But
I was also thinking it's a pity that in language mm. we use those terms to frame this, because for us as women, and tell me where I'm wrong, we tend to view masculine as not us. So it's something different. So when you said the ascended masters have a masculine energy, it took me a split second mm-hmm. or so to feel comfortable with them mm. because it's not me. You know, as a woman, it's not part of me. But it's actually just labels that we
yes.
use.
But and you did fix it when you went with the angels, the nurturing energy, and I go like, okay, so the angels, Michael, Gabriel, what?
Yeah, they
are
all
they
sound
gay?
Male.
Like, okay, that's
but
being
it's a
facetious.
Balancing. That's
you
what
know,
it's all about,
because
a balancing.
You go like, yeah, because normally, you know, you'd associate males too. But there are a lot of males coming in now, though, with way more nurturing,
wonderfully nurturing
energy than we have ever experienced. And there are some women who go, not for me, go to him. He'll hook you up with a hug.
Your daddy will kiss it better.
And it's a beautiful thing, though.
And it's an interesting thing as well, because the year 2017, as we are, it's a year of new beginnings. And the universe issued two kind of keys. And it was, you know, about accepting new beginnings and or staying, you know, victory or victimhood. Mm-hmm. But on the whole, what energy comes out in these new beginnings is a very feminine energy. Mm-hmm. So the system busters, the control freaks, aren't managing with that very well because they like to be able to control things. But there's no space for that. We need to have that softer, feminine, nurturing energy that can allow for that higher conscious way of being. And so this year is, again, very important, because what we create is setting the tone for the next 9 years.
Talk to us about our before we go into the next 9 years, about what we're going through as a country, and how what you practice, the Lighterianism, is it correct to say that, can influence our vibration to shift?
Well, it is again about letting go of a lot of the old limited beliefs and programming that one can sit in feeling of almost being stuck. Mm-hmm. You know, this is just the way we do it, and there's no other way of doing it. Whereas, again, if we can move away from the mind into the heart and have other ways of doing. So how would we have other ways of doing? It would be having a far more positive speech, mm-hmm. our outlook on life, being able to send loving feminine energy out, as opposed to the aggression that we have on the roads, for instance. Mm-hmm. So when I'm getting into my car in the morning, and I encourage people all the time just to imagine that there is an inner sense of peace within you wherever you are moving, whether you're walking or driving. Mm-hmm. And if you are sending from your heart space positive loving energy, left, right, front, back, above, below, it almost creates like this bubble of love.
Okay.
And that...
Do we have to have it pink? Because somebody said you must have it pink. Have
it. Shemaine hates pink.
Okay. I don't hate pink. Oh. Stop that.
You can have it violet, magenta.
I don't. It's just not the one that I'd be drawn to first. You know, the energy, I wouldn't be the one. I'd be drawn to orange or black first, you know. But no, the pink, I'm learning to love.
And what
it.
About a rainbow?
Well, could that work? Rainbow's a bit busy.
Diamond. There we go.
Okay. So, sorry, I interrupted.
The energy,
the bubble of love. So as you are going through your day, actually just sending positive, loving energy from your heart, whichever bubble color you want to have. But it's your intention again, remember, because thought is creative. Uh-huh. So if I'm sending out negative thoughts, negative is going to come back.
Yeah.
And if I'm sending, let's find a solution, remaining positive with our mindset as to there can be and there will be a solution, mm-hmm. and success is available. Who can have clear communication as we heal and just think of what it is that we're saying? Because people are wanting instant gratification every moment. Mm-hmm. I sent you a message. Why haven't you replied yet? And, you know, it's an impatience. So we need to find the polarity for the impatience and being patient.
Mm. So in our country, where we are at the moment with people really angry and protesting, are you saying that it would be better to protest for something to rise than instead of for someone to fall?
Positive, loving energy. We're always asking for the highest good to prevail. It took you a while.
No, I'm not. I couldn't help but laugh. I'm thinking, it doesn't compute. No, my mind does not want to take it that way. I'm like, yes, can
no,
we just get
I would
rid
rather,
of that? Then,
no, I would rather protest for something than against something.
I understand. But we're talking about our country now, hey? So,
no, but
yeah,
we're talking about energy and intention.
Yeah.
And, we are so fear-based at the moment that... Surely that must have an impact on what is happening around us. The more we fear, are we going to get
more fearful? And that vibration then does us in.
Exactly. Those are the two emotions, fear and love. And if you could imagine a energy spiral, fear, anger, resentment, disappointment, betrayal, and all of those thoughts, feelings, and emotions. Fear is group consciousness, and we do need to be able to raise the energy vibration. How do we do it? With love. Mm-hmm. So that's why the bubbles of love have to become copious, oodles amount going out, to minimize the fear, because the more people focus on the fear base and are concerned about the stock markets and or
the junk status,
it's going to compound it even more, as opposed to having the love that can be sent out, again, raising and minimizing. So anything at all that is causing anxiety of any kind, if we can see it becoming smaller and smaller and smaller, and a loving energy going out, positive inspiration, motivation, it definitely uplifts the energetic value for people.
Mm-hmm. And you know what I find that when you do that, just on a personal level, the more you attune to a vibration that leaves you calm and at peace, it also leaves room for faster manifesting. So you just go like, you know, why can't I manifest? I tried that. I've been thinking positive. And then but when you realize that maybe vibrationally you need to change so that things can align, and you don't always get it right. But I found that, you know, for someone who's wondering about, you know, oh, you're all talking about all this, that and the other, but, you know, I battle to manifest. And that positive thinking or, you know, shift can help.
Okay, but that's on an individual level. For our country, can one person make a difference? Will it make a difference if I sit quietly at home while everybody's waving placards that make noise that make the president say it's racism? Would one person sitting quietly with the intention of sending out love and peace make a difference?
I do believe individually and collectively, mm-hmm. we had candles that were being lit And we were raising vibration with networking with light workers, people in service to raising vibration through light.
Is that what you did on Friday?
Yes.
Okay. And that some of us went to the streets. Great stuff that you did that.
and we do believe that it does promote positive, loving energy in a way to diffuse and calm and cool and soothe. And again, thought is creative. If we can just be seeing it continuing out like a big, big, big bubble of love. Mm. So every day from my heart space in meditation, I am sending love to all of those that have ever read of me, met of me, or heard of me. Mm. And sending love to all those that will ever read of me, hear of me, and meet of me. And then made connection with me on the Friday. And I was, wow, that's lovely, Liesl. Thank you. That really is, that's beautiful. I'm in the bush. But it's okay. it definitely, we can all make a difference. And that's what it's about. Global human transformation. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs to be accountable for who they are. And creating the change. Okay. We need to be it.
Do you think that part of the reason why we are just so many people on this poor, poor planet at the moment is because so many souls are coming in to learn this lesson of human transformation?
Yeah, it's a very busy place. You look at the highways and byways, and there are a lot of people that have chosen to be on Mother Earth right now to experience just that. And we wonder sometimes, would I have chosen to have chosen the parents that I had or the circumstances that I've had? And I do believe, too, that we have a contract that we agree to experience certain things when we come to the earth.
Well, that's something we spoke about last week, and I'm trying to get Shemaine to ask you a question she asked you off air. We spoke about this last week, and we also spoke about soul retrievals, and you mentioned that's something you do. Just quickly tell me how you do it.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. Then I'll come in.
So when you think of soul retrieval, there's many aspects to it. A lot of the time, if somebody has perhaps passed away suddenly, their soul doesn't really realize what it is that has happened and can float around on the earth plane, ensuring that loved ones are going to be okay and will cope without them.
For how long do they do that? How long, according to your knowledge, do they stay?
It could be a couple of days. It could be a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And often people feel quite disconcerted by, is my loved one okay? And
the loved one is going, are you okay?
And the loved one is in the background, very definitely, perhaps trying to get messages to them of you are okay and be reassuring. And it is very important, though, that we do help passed over loved ones to be able to cross over, to move to that space of love and light. They have completed their soul journey. Mm. And that's empowering for others in another way when they have to perhaps take a new role, because that's all very much about what is the future role for them. So the soul needs to be guided to move through to light energy. And we often find that souls come in also for a very short period of time. Just a short experience here on the earth.
What is short?
It could be through miscarriage.
Okay.
That it's been conceived, passing away. It could be a couple of days, a couple of weeks.
But a miscarriage, would you then have had a human experience already? Would in the womb, qualify as having had a human experience?
In fact, connecting with the parents in that watery world that they were conceived in, it is seen as an experience, definitely, albeit short.
Okay. So, and that is also, could that be just for the experience of the individual soul that decided, okay, no, not coming through, done. This is not going to work. Or can it be paired with, I've come to help you learn a lesson as the parent or parents?
Yes. Very often it is for the parents, for the whole soul group, for the family group, even if you think of the family tree, often there's a tremendous amount of pressure. Got to be doing this by X and Y and Z time because it's the right thing to be doing. But the parents aren't really ready for these high vibrational little beings that are coming in. They come in with a much higher energetic vibration.
Okay, so are you saying that the kids are, or the souls are, rejecting the parents because their vibration is not as high as they need for them to be?
and to support their journey through
okay.
through their the existence. Light. Yes.
Okay, so they go like, I'm going to Liesl because Shemaine ain't good.
Well, some are going, I would rather have Shemaine than that bossy Liesl. Sorry, you go.
Oh, no, I then wanted to know, what about when you terminate a pregnancy?
It's an important thing as well that we do clear remnants of a soul who has come in, because we often find that there are a lot of fertility aspects that are coming in for young couples now. Mm-hmm. And them, apart from them not being ready to be responsible as parents, the children waiting on them being more responsible and or termination, that on some karmic level, it all needs to play out, and there will be a balancing that will happen. And that is why it's important that, again, we have that self-development and that we cleanse mm-hmm. old programming, old thoughts, old feelings.
How do you clean it from a Lighterian's point of view?
From a Lighterian point mm-hmm. of view, it is through a series of attunements, the peeling of the onion,
okay.
the layers, and then the healing, filling with love and positive loving energy again, to be able to heal the trauma from the old. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the time, these new souls can come into a very fear-based situation, which is not really what their soul wants.
Mm.
They want to come into a more nurturing one.
Okay.
And if you make a promise for these new babies, keep it. Otherwise, don't say we're going to go to the park.
Mm.
Make it rather a spontaneous event.
Right.
Because they really get disappointed very easily.
Oh, isn't that a child's heart, though? You know, you go like, oh, okay, I'll just drop everything. I see that, Simpi. We're saying we need to wind up. But
I have one more question.
Like,
no. I have one more question.
Like 5 minutes. Simpiwe, are you listening? She's not even. Are you listening?
She's saying wrap up, but I have one more question that I have to ask. Talking about, souls that are coming in. Shemaine, when?
Hello.
One of the things you do is birth pattern removal.
Yes.
So what is that? Does that have to do with, trauma as a child? What is it?
When you're emerging through the womb, actually we're cleansing and clearing. And imagine that, well, you may know already a little bit about the chakra system.
Uh-huh.
And if you could imagine a sort of a process of just being able to let the layers go of that, again, that old programming. What was mum's programming?
Uh-huh.
What was dad's programming? And going back through the family tree, if we've had a lot of disappointment and a lot of hurt and a lot of pain, these new souls coming in with that already start.
Generational quite, trauma.
Quite right.
And that's something we sit with as a country. I mean, we all dealing with the stuff from Jan van Riebeeck's time.
And it's still going. Just one question. What's it like to bring to escort a soul into the country? Into this world, because you do that as well, you say.
Working with evolving souls, absolutely. Inviting the spirits in to
be with
their parents. It's beautiful.
Uh-huh.
A rainbow of light energy that hovers in and says, oh, I like you as a mum and I like you as a dad. That's great. Let mm-hmm. me come down and be with you and create your growth, your standpoint from there, and growing, evolving souls.
I'm so sorry.
But
some
B-Ware
has just walked in, and
like
I'm scared she's going to hit us over the head. Some B-Ware.
You need a soldier march in here.
I'm going to be so glad when Palesa's back. She never does that to us.
And she gives us more time. Like, there's 5 minutes left. You know that.
The boss said, let's wrap it up.
Can we
have 5 minutes? Do we have to wrap it up? Two minutes.
Yes, we have two more minutes.
See how we struggle here, Vivian? How can we make it better? Do we have to visualize our show being its full time?
That could be a good starting point.
Mm-hmm. So we were still doing that. How do you usher in? But so you went the frou-frou ethereal way, but how do you practically go like, okay, this
in,
is the person
having,
and I'm guiding you and coming, I don't know what you do.
Well, and again, through meditation is being able to sit with the parents
mm-hmm.
and say, we are inviting your soul to come in and join you and to be with you and to be a part of your soul family, and for them to have an open mind to accepting and receiving this responsibility of this new soul coming in.
Does the birth
when do you do this? It's not during the birth process.
No,
when does the soul come in?
Well, before. Absolutely before.
When before does the soul conception, come in?
Yeah.
Before conception,
Before conception, you are calling already and just saying, this family is ready and waiting. Mm-hmm. And they've already done quite a lot of clearing, cleansing, and healing.
I believe that because my kid told me 2 years before he came what his name was. I nearly died. I heard this person say, my name is such and such. And I was like, what?
Who's that?
Who, what? So I trust that.
My eldest was with me. I physically felt his presence for months before he was conceived.
There we go.
Does it make the birth process easier?
It does.
And the integration into
conscious parenting, it's called. It's really a great way to be.
Okay, I'm going to stop now.
Yeah, I'm scared she's going to hit me over the head. Vivian, thank you so much for joining us. Please, you don't have to be scared of Simpiwe, but we have to work with her, so we'll play nice with her. From me, Liesl, Tom, have a good day.
Thank you, Vivian, for coming. It was such fun. Thank you for being
here. Thank you for
here.
Inviting me.
And I'm Shemaine Harris. Alrighty then. Thank you for joining us on Beyond Ears and Eyes on Cliff Central. Bye-bye now.
This is CliffCentral.com.